Our sermon this Sunday is called Just Because You Were Called... I've saved you from my love of ellipses, that's what those three dots are technically called, because I use them a lot in my other communications. And instead, I've just inflicted question mark after question mark on you when it comes to sermon titles. But I wanted to follow up on last Sunday from a slightly different perspective even than our texts give us, other than the existence of Jonah. And last week we talked about being called, and this Sunday we had the story of the call of some of the disciples. We have Andrew being called, and we have the sons of Zebedee, James and John, whose nickname, by the way, are the sons of thunder. They were apparently quite the pair in some of the things they did. And so when we look at our text this Sunday, what I want to think about is, yes, you've been called. And I want to think especially of Jonah, and I'm hoping you know the larger story of Jonah, but I'll tell you a bit more of it just in case. Because what we heard today was sort of the crux of the call that God put on Jonah to then call to the people of Nineveh, who responded in a dramatic way. And the lectionary then just cuts off Jonah, which is perhaps a favor to Jonah, but not necessarily all that helpful to us. Because if you read the rest of Jonah, and you can read all of Jonah standing on one leg, it's really short, you know, so you don't have to worry about that. I couldn't do it standing on my right leg, but I could do it standing on my left. And what we do is we get Jonah in chapter 4 complaining to God in a way that is really quite extraordinary. But Jonah was greatly displeased. This is after all the people of Nineveh have turned to the Lord, have done exactly what Jonah told them they needed to do. Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home?" Because what he said, if you read the first couple of chapters of Jonah, is that I don't want to go there because you are going to save these people and I hate them. You can't put it any nicer than that. Jonah hated the Ninevites with a certain amount of justice. They were very unpleasant people by most modern standards. They enslaved people. They destroyed things. They're really quite unpleasant. But what we have is that Jonah is angry that the people of Nineveh listened to his call. And when I was thinking of that, even though the lectionary didn't take us there, but the story of Jonah is reasonably familiar to, well, the first part to everybody, being swallowed by a fish or a whale or whatever you might have seen it as or heard it as. But the rest of the story reminded me that just because you're called doesn't mean you're right. At least not always. And when we look at the call of the disciples, what we see are people being called, like plucked from their regular life into another one where they follow Jesus. And when we think of the lives of the disciples and when we think of them going on, what we don't see is a life of instant perfection. At least I don't. We have John sort of leaning on Jesus saying, "Hey, who's going to be the greatest later? Who's going to be me?" We have Peter denying Jesus, and we have intimations, we have hints that overall the disciples were full-range human beings and had all the same difficulties that anybody else. They quarreled with each other when they were walking behind Jesus. We sometimes think that the disciples are these extraordinary non-human people in many ways. And then sometimes we even think, well, if I was a disciple, I would not do any of those things. But people were complaining to their bickering as they walked behind Jesus. And we find that almost impossible to believe. Like, how could you bicker that close to Jesus? And yet, we bicker, and Jesus is just as close to us now. But to pull it back to what I was thinking of, we run across people on a, if not regular basis, at least now and then, who on the basis of a call from God, and as far as we know, a legitimate call from God, have now stepped into this role that says they cannot be wrong. My fellow students and I used to refer to this as senior pastor disease. And it's a problem because you have a senior, like the senior pastors, usually the preaching pastors in the denomination I grew up in. And so you'd have these people who stand up every Sunday, well, men, they're always men when I grew up, standing in this pulpit and proclaiming the truth of God to the people. And they are. That's their gift. That's their calling. And so then they sometimes, after a period of time, will begin to think that whether they're in the pulpit or not, they are speaking the words of God. And what's even worse is sometimes their people will think the same thing. And so the pastor who has some lunatic ideas about whatever it might be is then treated as if they're speaking on God's behalf. It doesn't work that way. When we're called by God, and we are called in the fullness of our humanity, which is imperfect. Mine is, I can say that for sure, and Scripture assures me that everyone's is imperfect. And if we start thinking that our call then allows us to speak, to use the Catholic term, ex cathedra, speaking from the cathedral, speaking from the very seat of God, we've made a huge mistake. It's an easy mistake to fall into. And this sermon is directed perhaps more at me than anyone else, because I'm not a senior pastor, but I preach every Sunday. And I do my best with the help of the Holy Spirit, who has been wonderfully gracious to me in helping me see things in the text that I might not otherwise, and speak truth on a regular basis. I'm not saying I get it right every Sunday, but I think most of the time, the Holy Spirit allows me to say things that are useful and truthful at the same time. I'm glad I know about senior pastor disease, preaching pastor disease, because it's not out of the question that I could fall into the exact same thing. This idea that because I've been given the gift of looking into Scripture and seeing what it has for us today somehow means that when I talk to you about politics, about anything, that I'm obviously right. Because I'm not. I don't think I'm wrong more than I'm right anymore. But that's because I don't say things in a "this is the only way to think" very much anymore, because I know how wrong I have been. My youngest is working through some history. They're in a history class that they're doing online, high school history, and so they're talking about Europe, and they're talking about the isms, nationalism, and capitalism, socialism, and communism, and all of those things. And we just got talking about it as I was helping them with their work. And I said, "Oh, yeah, when I was younger, I was a Marxist." Well, actually, I wasn't really a Marxist. Marx didn't go far enough for me. I was more of a Maoist, if you can imagine. Such a foolish thing. From somebody living in Alberta, growing up in the lap of luxury, in the top 10% of wealth in the world, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, some of the things that I believed were witless. Like, there's just no way. I believe things that Marx didn't believe. Why? Well, I was young, idealistic, really angry. It seemed like a good way to go. I grew out of that. Many people do. I grew out of it, I didn't sort of flip the other way as some people do. I'm still very much a believer in collective value, that when we get together, we're stronger and better than the sum of our parts. I believe all of those things. But it's helpful for me to be reminded every once in a while of some of the ridiculous things I used to believe, because they help me hold lightly the things I tell to you and speak in the rest of my life. It doesn't mean that I think everything is up for grabs, but what it means is, yes, I have been called to preach to this congregation, and I've been doing so for quite a while and hope to do so for a long time to come. But that doesn't mean that I get to tell you how to live your lives in every little aspect. It doesn't mean that I get to tell you what's right always. because I'm not always correct myself. If Peter could deny Jesus, who am I to say that I might not? If the disciples bickered with Jesus right there, who am I to say that I won't? When we hold on to this idea that yes, we are called, and we are called, we are called to exercise the spiritual gifts that the gracious Holy Spirit has poured into us to use for the building up of the community, this faith community and the community beyond, gifts of prophecy, gifts of helping, gifts of giving, gifts of wisdom, all of these gifts that we are called to use, and we should use them. But let's remember that just because you're good in one thing doesn't mean you're good in another. Look at all those athletes who tried to play another sport. Michael Jackson leaps to mind. A stupendously wonderful basketball player. A really not very good baseball player. But he tried. And demonstrated to us unequivocally that just because you're great at basketball does not mean you'll be great at baseball. And there are lots of things that each of you are wonderful at. Some of them I know. But you're wonderful at things, but that doesn't mean you're wonderful at everything. And that's okay. We don't have to be. I think one of the causes of senior pastor disease is when people, for whatever reason, reach that stage where they can't say they're wrong. I'm always willing to say I'm wrong. At least I try to be. Because I can't see everything. I don't know everything. I mean, I'm reasonably bright, but I'm not that wise. I don't have a comprehensive knowledge of really anything. Certainly not everything. And so because I'm called, it means that I don't know everything. But what it does mean, and what it means for you also, is that I know I've been called. I know I've been gifted. I know that I have been granted the opportunity to express the reality of God through the things I do in a way that is more than it would be if I was just working through my own experience and my talent and my innate gifts. Because spiritual gifts are more than that, and that's what comes with the call. And when I stay in that call, when I stay in my lane, as they often say these days, I can do extraordinary things. When I look into Scripture for what it has to say to us as a collective, I see things there that I don't see when I'm just reading it because I feel like reading it. Is that me or is that the gift? I don't know. But what I know is that when I step into the exercise of my gifts, there's more to me than just what I can see in the mirror. And there's more to you. When you work in the middle of your gifts, you are more than you could ever be otherwise. Because it's the Holy Spirit who's coming along and working through you and with you to exercise those gifts. So just because you're called doesn't mean you're right. But just because you're called means that you can do things that no one else can provide for the community. Just because you're called means that God has given to you a gift that will enable you to build up this community of faith, and the community outside. And you were called, not because of any great thing you've done already. You were called because God loves you and knows that we want to be useful to the people around us. And God has given us gifts that we might use them for the building up of the church and the community. Just because you're called doesn't make you right. But hopefully it reminds you always that you are loved. Amen.